regular meeting of the...
I call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchak, so we have a quorum. And I do not have any opening comments. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, do you?
No, I do not.
And Commissioner Fedorchak?
I do not either. I do have one comment on a consent item, so we'll get to that.
Okay. So we will move into that. We have 11 items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those plus the meeting minutes from February 22nd and 28th.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
So I did note on one of these items, Mr. Chairman, the Basin Electric Power Cooperative approval of a allowance for them to start construction, remove the frozen topsoil. I just didn't want this to pass without note because I think when we approved this, approved this site, we kind of assumed that maybe they'd be constructing after the top, you know, after things thawed. And this is a big deal, and having winter construction, I think I've looked at this and examined what they've planned to do, and our staff did that as well. So I believe that it is appropriate, but I do want to call this out so that staff pays extra attention to this in their pre-construction meeting with Basin. Whenever that happens, I'm assuming it hasn't happened yet. So that they are, you know, making double sure that the proper methods of segregating the topsoil to the subsoil are being followed and carried through throughout that initial stage of construction. And that's all I wanted to mention on that.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, moving on to the regular agenda then. Kind of a long motion here to start it out, but I move the commission approve bond release number 4 to surface coal mining permit NAFK-8405 held by the Falkirk Mining Company for the Falkirk Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 286.9 acres of land located in portions of Section 22 and 27, Township 146 North, Range 82 West in McLean County. No monetary release is being requested since the current bond amount is based on the worst-case reclamation condition for this permit and others at the Falkirk Mine. This release will become effective April 7th of 2023 unless a formal hearing is requested in Falkirk Mining Company Bond Release 4 Permit NAFK-8405 application case number RC-22-262.
Second.
So, probably have a shorter explanation than what the motion actually was, but the tract of land we're talking about is located about a mile east and a mile south of Underwood. Mining disturbance was initiated in 1988 already. The coal was removed from 1989 to 1994, and the reclamation has proceeded ever since. The approved post-mining land use includes 272 of these acres, so it's almost all cropland, with a few small acreages of wetlands. There's a shelter belt planting. There's a county road that cuts through here. And then a 0.2-acre industrial area occupied by a Basin Electric Power Company tower. The formal bond release inspection was conducted on October 26th of last year. Our Reclamation Division staff and Falkirk Mining Company staff participated in the inspection. Others were invited to participate in the inspection, including the landowners, the McLean County Commission, the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, and the North Dakota Soil Conservation Committee, and the Wetland Advisory Committee. However, none of those entities attended. No concerns were noted during the inspection. Our notice for the final bond release application was published in the official county newspaper, which is the McLean County Independent, and in the Bismarck Tribune for four consecutive weeks, starting on October 13th and ending November 3rd. No objections or concerns were received regarding this application. The successful revegetation of the cropland was evaluated using multiple productivity standards. Falkirk has completed surface and groundwater post-mining hydrologic assessments. The report shows there was no significant unmitigated negative impact on the hydrologic balance outside of the permit area or within the bond release area. Mr. James Gray, who is the McLean County Superintendent of Highways, provided written acceptance of the county road back on September 12th already. So Falkirk has demonstrated that the reclaimed lands have met all applicable final bond release performance standards. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of the bond release application and recommends commission approval, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just have to say, when I read these and the amount of work that goes into it and the detailed work and collaboration is just impressive, very impressive. So job well done.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Commissioner Haugenhoffert, you are up.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order of Northern States Power Company Competitive Response Rider Tariff and Rates, case number PU22-185.
Second.
On May 4th, NSP filed a petition to implement a competitive response rider. The intent of this rider is to offer discounts on demand and or energy charges for existing and prospective large commercial and industrial electrical customers. This rider would attract new customers to North Dakota and also help existing customers more cost-effectively expand their business. So on the 25th, we issued a notice of opportunity until July 6th. No response was received. So on July 6th, the commission discussed this matter with NSP, and twice NSP filed on September 9th, they filed a revision to its original petition, and then on February 1st, based upon further communication with them, they filed a second petition. And this rider would provide a mechanism to offer discount rates to large CNI electrical customers. The second revised petition would provide us a framework to recover at least the incremental costs of providing electrical service to such customers. And those must be approved by the commission. So the rates using this rider would be offered to any existing customers with a minimum load of 2 megawatts and the ability to obtain the electrical supply from an alternate supplier. Any prospective customer with a projected minimum load of 10 megawatts with a projected minimum load of 10 megawatts with the ability to locate its facility outside NSP service territory. This rate would be effective for at least 1 year and no longer than 5 years. So having gone through all our informal and the revisions and everything submitted by NSP, we find this rate is reasonable and in compliance with the tariff.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Go ahead. I have something. Go ahead.
Okay. So I understand your explanation of what's mm-hmm. in this. I just want to clarify something that I hope is not. At one point, the company was requesting kind of the ability to recover the discount that they give to these economic development customers from their other customers in the future rate case. And I believe that was to be taken out. That is out of here now, right?
I believe it's so. And this is the reason why if they have an existing customer, it has to come before us as the commission to approve.
Okay. Is there any further discussion?
I'm comfortable with this. I feel that I'm comfortable. I hope that I have thought about everything on this, and staff has as well. But I'm comforted by the fact that the overall goal is to provide net benefit to customers, you know, of the tariff as a whole. So it's designed to attract some of these big loads, ensure that they cover the cost to serve them, including any increase in the energy or demand charges that might come about as a result of their presence on the system, and then provide a net return to customers. So those are the key pieces that make these customers appealing, and I feel like we've tried to capture those in this in the design of this tariff, and then ultimately have the opportunity to review any customer and make sure that we feel it complies with those criteria before their actual agreement is approved. So I think that we have all the pieces in place to make this work, and hope that NSP is successful in attracting some customers for this tariff.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company Advance Prudence 150 megawatt PPA for Mid-Coda Wind application case number PU22-410.
Second.
On November 18th, NSP filed an application for advance determination of prudence for a 41-month extension of the existing 150-megawatt power purchase agreement, PPA, for the output of the Mid-Coda Wind facility, extending the PPA through May 31st, 2026. They believe the approval of this PPA extension will help assure the continued operation of the Mid-Coda Wind facility at a cost price, providing a short-term hedge against the market volatility benefiting North Dakota customers. So on the 11th, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, and no response was received. On the 22nd, an informal hearing was held to discuss the matter with NSP and us as commission staff. And these 100 turbines with an output of 150 megawatt are located in Lincoln County, Minnesota, and Brookings County, South Dakota. They became operational on December 31st, 2007 with a 15-year PPA with NSP to purchase the entire facility. And then Mid-Dakota and NSP executed the 41-month extension on November 7th, 2022. So this proposed extension does not meet the identified energy needed in their integrated resource plan, but the renegotiated rate of the PPA is below the system average cost of fuel recovered for North Dakota customers through their fuel cost recovery rider. What's important to note that this PPA has the potential to act as a hedge against volatility in the energy market, and there's a high probability it will generate savings for North Dakota customers. And I think that was definitely a tipping point for us in this decision. The PPA will continue to include the full benefits of capacity accreditation within MISO, as well as a full value to the renewable energy credits, which will be proportionally returned to the North Dakota customers. So also included in this renegotiation is a declining cap on compensable curtailments. And this will also reimburse Mid-Cota for certain curtailments due to lack of available transmission capacity, lack of transmission service, and low load conditions that require curtailments for the system stability. This new agreement of the PPA will help reduce the ongoing forward risks due to the congestion and negative location marginal prices for NSP and shift the risk to Mid-Cota. So after review, we find that this is appropriate and should be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I do want to say something here. I'm going to vote for this, but I just want... This is such a classic case to point out just a major concern I have with the way we, and I'm talking about utility regulators around the nation, compartmentalize our decisions. I'm going to read from two sentences in the same paragraph in their filings on this case. Company does not necessarily need the energy. Then I'm skipping through into the next sentence. The PPA is likely to displace other higher marginal cost resources and therefore will lower the company's overall cost to serve, which is, as you explained correctly, lowering the cost. Now, when we talk to our constituents, we talk about we're concerned about reliability and affordability. But now, today, we talk about affordability. We're lowering the costs here. Then, when there's a crisis, then we talk about reliability, and we talk about how we need to reward the generators that supply the traits that we need, the reliability and the resilience and things like that. And so we're acknowledging that we are displacing them out of the market with this act. This doesn't say it's free, and you didn't say it's free. Mm-hmm. It's lower cost. Mm-hmm. So the customers ultimately have to pay at least that lower cost here. And then later on in some different conversation when we're talking about reliability, we'll want to reward the ones that we're displacing so that they stick around and are available for when it's not windy. So we're going to add this low cost and then give them more for theirs when, had we just not done this, we wouldn't have displaced them and we wouldn't have had to reward them more or this at all. And I just think somehow or another the whole energy industry has to stop dealing with these things in a vacuum. Now, this is a case that it is, and I'm going to support it. And this is an ongoing PPA they've had, so it would be quite an abrupt change to not approve it. But I'm continuing to push more that we need to bring all these things together in these cases and be looking at all of the above, reliability and affordability at the same time.
Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think you've pointed out a very significant challenge that we all face. We're trying to get after it through the integrated resource planning, which we do need to, you know, move more aggressively on, I believe. But the problem more broadly is that we're using an old framework with which to evaluate and operate a system with completely new resources, and it doesn't work. I mean, they have completely different characteristics. They function differently. They need to be marketed differently and rewarded differently, and we just don't have that system in place. And it's like rebuilding the airplane while you're driving it or flying it. And it's a challenge. I hope that we can get there. I think that it's a real important issue for all of us and state regulators in particular to be involved with, because there isn't anybody out there who knows the answer. So I think we got to keep pointing this out and pushing in that direction.
And I think that the heart of the conflict at the very beginning lies with the federal energy markets that have, I don't want to say federal, they're RTO markets, but they operate under federal requirements. And they're not free markets and they're not fair markets. And that is the beginning of throwing everything so far off kilter.
And they were designed under the old system and have been making, you know, small piecemeal changes along the way to bring in these new resources. And now I think we're seeing, like, you know, it with small numbers, it might have worked. But when you start having significant penetration on some of these zero cost, marginal cost resources like wind and solar, that really throws everything off, especially when they get a subsidy on top of that. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done to make this new way functional long-term. And I think, you know, each of the RTOs is wrestling with that and struggling with that. And interestingly, I don't know if you guys saw or read, but there was an article just this week written by Tony Clark's organization that basically says the RTO model is dead. So you might want to read that. You probably would agree. I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but
all I'm going to ask you guys is not to read that on a plane while you're trying to fix it. Please stay on ground and continue to move your framework forward in the RTOs.
And Commissioner Haugenhofer, sorry to, if I derailed your motion. Just because of the wording and their own filing, and this is just such a classic example, and I wanted to use it to...
Commissioner Christman, you brought that out. I mean, I think it was from the onset of the application to our informal meeting with them and trying to find that balance. That's the only word I can
I gotta go, so we should vote on this.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Would you like us to vote on the other one?
Can I log my vote now?
Make the motion real fast, please.
Okay. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and Public Service Commission J Star LLC, better known as LJ Star M, Weights and Measures Enforcement Case WM2363.
Second.
I don't think you really need to explain it. If there are questions, you can answer them during explanation. So unless there's questions from either of you two, I think we'd be ready for the vote.
No, but I think it's well laid out in the memo and the consent agreement that I would approve it, support it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay.
Are you okay with us continuing with the press part?
Yes, I am. And I do need to be here for the admin portion, though.
We will hold on.
I will go speak on behalf of us on 1170, okay. Natural gas extensions.
And I guess to clarify, I believe that your fourth agenda item was pulled, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So your portfolio is complete?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, we'll stand in recess for some announcements and questions from the press then.